tempted to take the stand and stand down there in front of you. I just love Wednesday night in a gospel meeting, because then you know exactly who the people are that keep the doors open and the people that are dependable. And so this is the part of the meeting that I enjoy more than any other part of the meeting, because you don't have visitors usually, and you know who the people are that are working together and that love one another and serving God. So again, I'd like to say to those of you that I appreciate the opportunity, the invitation of being here this week. I left here, I think, 33 years ago, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity of coming back. As Ronnie Webb was leaving this world, he said to his wife, Sandra, he said, "Get me a piece of paper and let me write my obituary." He said, "I'd really like to preach one more sermon. I'll hold on to that for a long time. I'd like to preach," he said, "one more sermon." He didn't get to. So we ought to be grateful, and I'm certainly grateful to be able to be here tonight to study with you. One thing that has dealt in my mind for some time is ingratitude. Ingratitude is in the world, and it's creeping into the church. I have in the past watched certain women in the congregations complain, but I've noticed now that many of the men are just as bad about complaining as the women. And I think it's a part of our society. We think that's just what we're supposed to do. I wish that all of us would pray, "Lord, of all that you've given us, give us one thing more. Give us an attitude of gratitude." I believe that's the thing we need more than anything. It bothers me when I see the phrase, "God bless America." God has already blessed America. It's time for us to turn to God for what He's already done for us. We've turned our back upon the one that has glorified us so much and done so much for us. And we need to remember that. Throughout the Bible, throughout the book of Colossians, throughout the book of Ephesians, we're told to be grateful. And that's an attitude of gratitude, appreciating what we have and what God has done for us. Jesus would often leave and go into the mountains and express his gratitude to God. We notice that David so often expressed the goodness of God and praised God for what God had done. And we notice Daniel, even when the commandment was that no man should pray, that he prayed three times a day and gave thanks. And then we notice Anna, the woman that was at the temple and waiting for Jesus, and she saw the baby, and when she saw the baby, she thanked God. She gave thanks. So when we look at the Bible, we recognize that God's people have always been grateful people for who they are and what God has done for them. I think one of the darkest pictures that I can imagine is people that forget. We need to remember to never forget what others have done for us, and in particular what God has done and what His Son has done for us as well. We need to remember that. Remember when Joseph, of course, was put in prison. And in prison, the butler and the baker was there, and they interpreted the dreams that they had dreamed. And he told the butler that when you get out of here, remember me. And some 2 years later, he said, "This day, do I remember my fault?" He had forgotten to remember what Joseph had done for him. I think so many times we forget what others have done for us. And it's a sad situation that we don't have a sense of gratitude of who we are and what others have done for us. We notice over in Luke 17 in verse 11 that Jesus healed 10 men of leprosy. Leprosy is certainly a dreaded disease. He healed 10 of them. And only one returned to praise, to give thanks for what he'd done. Jesus said, "Where are the 9? Were there not 10? How much has God done for us that we've forgotten? That we didn't return to give thanks and praise to our God for what he has done for us. We read in the Old Testament concerning a group of people in 1 Samuel 31, what happened to them of Jabesh Gilead. Jabesh Gilead, of course, had decided that Nahash the Ammonite was stronger than they were, and they wanted to make a covenant with him. And he said, "I'll make a covenant with you if you let me put out the right eye of every one of you." And they sent the word to Samuel, and Samuel sent the word then to Saul. And they gathered together and went and met the people, Nahash the Ammonite, and defeated them and saved the right eye of the people of Jabesh Gilead. When Saul, an evil king, as he was in the latter part of his life, when he was killed and they took the bodies and nailed them to the wall, Jabesh Gilead traveled all night long and went up and stole the bodies of Saul and his sons and brought them back home. And David later praises them for that. Why go and do that? Saul's dead. He won't know anything about it. But they remembered, we all have our right eye, because Saul gathered together the army and delivered us from Nahash the Ammonite. Remember to never forget what others have done for you. And I speak concerning young people, children. Remember what others have done for you. There's a person in the audience that I admire. She was adopted by Brother and Sister Cawthorn. And when some of the others wanted to know their background, she said, "I don't want to know who my mother and father was." Said, "Brother and Sister Cawthorn was my mother and my father." She never forgot that. That's what we do. We remember what others have done for us. And I've always appreciated Elida for that. She just has a tender spot in my heart. And I'm afraid today that too many children are forgetting what their parents have done for them and not showing gratitude. And we need to learn that. I think the second thing we need to learn is don't major in your troubles. It's so easy to say, "Well, it's not fair. What I'm going through is just not fair." Friends, the world is not fair. Fair is the thing that comes to the county once a year. And fair is what you notice in the weather. Other than that, you can forget fair. Because I don't care what you have, we are of a disposition that things are not fair. And we have reared a group of children that have come along that they think of themselves and themselves only and nobody else. They're busy taking pictures of themselves and telling their life, even if they're going to the bathroom. It's disgusting. All they're thinking about is themselves. And young people, think about what others have done for you and forget about yourself. Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Count your blessings, and you'll see how fortunate and rich you really are. Helen Keller, when I go down to Florence, Alabama, they take me over to the birthplace where she was there, or where she grew up. And they just have different things about her. She never majored in her troubles. They hired a woman from New York to come down and work with her. And she moved Helen Keller away from her mother and father because they pampered her and she had to learn to live without her eyesight. Don't major in your troubles. Fanny Cosby, another blind woman that wrote some of the songs in the book. Oh, what a savior. Was blind. Just think about people who don't major in their troubles. Paul, while he was in prison, wrote to the church at Philippi. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord." Again, I say, rejoice. Paul, how can you be in prison and say, rejoice? Again, in the same book, he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." It's our attitude. That's why I say attitude of gratitude. We've got to develop a different attitude than the attitude the world has. They're talking about everything being wrong. We have a relationship with God that is right, and we need to think about that. We need to think about how blessed we are. Sometimes we look at others that have more than we have and we covet and we say, why couldn't I have that much? Look at the Philippines. About the time they get some kind of structure built so that they can call a home, along comes a storm and tears everything down and they lose their crop. Look over in India and other places and think how people live. Some people live from $200 to $400 a year. That's what they live on. The nearest doctor's 15 miles away, and you've got to walk to get there. Think about so many blessings that we have. When we look round about us and think about who we are and why, then has the Lord been so good to us? And so we need to think about our blessings. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5, 6 and 8, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Contentment. That's what we need to learn. Contentment. Rather than being pessimistic and complaining all the time. And it bothers me. I notice again, in Matthew 13 and verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Remember, that's what he promised Moses when Moses didn't think that he could go to Egypt. He said, "I'm going to be with you." He made the same promise to us. Whatever you're going to confront, I'm going to be with you. Now, do we know who we are? Do we really know who we are as children of God? Jesus said, "Among those that are born of women, there's none greater than John. But he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he." You remember who you are? That you're greater than John. And Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He is with us. And we need to dwell on that and keep it in our minds continually. As we count our blessings, how many Bibles do you have in your house? Some people in the Philippines are begging for Bibles. How many Bibles do you have? How often do you read it? Well, notice again. Be grateful that you can read. Some people even had a Bible they couldn't read. Be grateful. I think again we need to understand what God's Son has done for us. In the Old Testament, the cry is, "The King is coming. The King is coming." But we're under the New Testament. The King has come. We have Him. He's the King of our life. So think what we have. Better than they had in the Old Testament. The Lord's church. Think how wonderful it is to be reared in the Lord's church or to know the truth. I remember Jim Wooten talking to his sister who was a Catholic, a little restaurant right up here. He said, when I was a Catholic, I felt like I was a member of an institution. But now, I feel like I'm a part of a family. There's a preacher in Tompkinsville that was reared a Catholic. How would you feel to be reared a Catholic? People in Pennsylvania, number of Catholics I talked to, said when we leave this area, we'll probably leave the Catholic Church. But your kids can't play football here unless they're Catholics. They can't excel in school unless they're Catholics. How grateful you ought to be that you've learned the truth and that you're a member of the Lord's church. How much gratitude should we have? The forgiveness of our sins. The hope that we have, the promise of heaven when this life is over. The family of God. People in Middle Tennessee don't understand. We started meeting in Altoona, Pennsylvania, in an Odd Fellows Hall. Started church there, and when we'd get there on Sunday morning, you'd have to go around and get up the beer cans and whiskey bottles and take them, put them in the trash can and spray the building to get that smell and scent out of it. We don't appreciate what we have here in Middle Tennessee. Went to North Carolina. We started a little church in Polkton, North Carolina. It was the same way. We rented a dance hall. Had a Coke machine up here and a record player up here, and they'd play the records. They'd dance on Saturday night, and we worshiped there on Sunday morning. I'm afraid sometimes we don't count our blessings and how good it is that we're meeting in an air-conditioned building today, worshiping our God. We need to recognize that and be more concerned about what we are. And then you could talk about your earthly blessings, but we won't deal with that. Ingratitude is so ugly. I don't know of anything in the world that's uglier than to receive something and not appreciate it. In fact, the Bible just indicates that in Romans 1, Paul just indicates what a terrible thing it is in verse 21. Listen to him. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. God's people can forget God and what He's done, and then you know what else happened there in Romans 1, that even the women changed their desires toward women rather than men. How'd that happen? No gratitude. They lost gratitude. And when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were they thankful. And God gave them up. The last election that we had, I prayed to God that He wouldn't give us what we deserve. And I hope this time, but I don't see much hope. We're getting pretty well in this country what we deserve. And that's scary. But let's notice again. In Isaiah 1 and verse 3, He said, the ox knoweth his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But my people, what's that? My people doth not consider. He said, animals, they know their owner. They know where the owner keeps the food. My daddy could walk out there in the pasture behind the house, and the cows would come to him. I went out there and they wouldn't come to me. He fed them. They knew who the owner was. He said, even animals know their owner. But he said, my people, they don't, because they don't know who I am. Do you really know God? Do you really trust Him? When bad things happen to you, do you recognize what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10? There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful. What? God is faithful. Not willing that you be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. I don't care what you face, you can overcome it. God said you could. He said He'd provide the way for you to overcome it and change your life. The next thing we need to do is learn to express our gratitude. I baptized a fellow a number of years ago that lived here in Andersonville when I was at Broadmoor. His mother-in-law and some of them attended that Broadmoor and baptized him. And I never will forget what his wife said when we baptized both of them. She said he has never in 27 years gotten up from the table that he didn't say, thank you, honey, for fixing that meal. You know how big I felt. He'd been reared a Baptist. He learned something I didn't learn. Express gratitude. When people do something right, tell them. When the elders do something right, tell them. When the deacons do something right, tell them. If you want to get rid of Troy, I'll tell you how to do it. Brag on him and he'll work himself to death. We need to learn to express gratitude. And it's just a part of our society that we don't do it. In Psalms 107, in verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Give thanks. That's what we need to do, is give thanks unto the Lord. In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, give thanks always for all things. Give thanks for all things. What was it David said? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted. Give thanks always. Give thanks for all things. Oh, how can you do that? We need to learn a lot of things about gratitude and expressing gratitude for those that have done things for us. Again, let's just turn to Psalms 137 and read some of the things that are said there by David. We've got the time and it's Wednesday night and we'll just do that. By the rivers of Babylon, of course this is not written by David, I don't know why I said that. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. Oh, if we could be back in Jerusalem. They lost Jerusalem because they weren't grateful. Watch him again. We hang our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us into captivity, required of us a song, and they wasted us, required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above all my chief joys. They lost Jerusalem because they weren't grateful. And now they're seeing what they've lost. Don't lose what you have to appreciate what you have. Be grateful to God for what you have. And it'll make a big difference in your life when you see that. Sometimes we forget what an easy life we have. Farmers used to go out and pick the food that we're going to eat, pull it out of the ground, or dig it out of the ground. We go to the supermarkets. There was a fellow in Dixon a number of years ago, put a rope around the cow's neck and walked it all the way from Dixon County to Bell Road in Nashville. Didn't have a horse. He walked every step of the way. We have cars. We have transportation. How grateful are we? All we need to be reminded, things are not good in America, but think of the freedom that you have to meet here tonight. And the freedom of reading Romans 1 won't be around always, I'm afraid. Even in some of the states, they're already suggesting that they have a copy of the outline that preachers are going to be preaching in dealing with homosexuality. Thank God for the freedom we have, lest we lose it. And He can sure let it go if we're not careful. And another thing that I'd like to say about gratitude, don't emphasize the importance of luxuries. I think we're caught in luxuries, and it means so much to us, and we forget what it's all about. It's not about luxuries, and we need to understand it. Luke 12 and verse 15, and He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. A rich man dies just like a poor man, and he doesn't take it with him. And we need to understand that we need to lay up treasures in heaven. That's what you're doing tonight by being here. Again, in Philippians 4 and verse 7, He said, but the peace of God which passeth all understanding. When we learn to be grateful for what we have, then there's a peace that comes over us. There's a calmness in our life that we calm down. No longer part of the rat race. So we need to realize that. Another thing that bothers me a great deal is murmuring. Murmuring. I learned a long time ago that nobody can pay me enough money to touch a thermostat in a building like this. A carpenter came out one Sunday morning down in Fairview, and his hands were wet with sweat. An older woman came out behind him, and her hands were freezing. And I thought, there's no way that you can develop a thermostat to satisfy both of those people. If you're cold, bring a blanket or something. Don't complain. Don't murmur. We're just reminded over and over again. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10. Paul talks about that. Neither murmur you, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. You work with people like that, nothing's ever right. That job's no good. Doesn't matter what happens. But friends, we're different. We're people of God. We know that we've been blessed far beyond what we deserve. And we stop complaining and murmuring. God has been good to you. In Philippians 4 and verse 11, not that I speak in respect for want, but I have learned whatever state I'm in therewith to be content. Paul, where were you when you're writing that? Were you riding in a limousine? No, sir. I was in prison. I'd have a hard time writing that in prison. I go to the prison in West Nashville Monday night. Nothing comes up. You go through a locked door, two locked gates, another locked door, another locked door. If I were back in there, I'd have a hard time saying I've learned to be content. If Paul could learn that, we can learn to be content with what we have. And brethren, we better learn that. I think the next thing that we need to learn is to learn to love the giver more than the gift. You know, sometimes parents give the children a gift and they grab the gift and hug the gift rather than hugging the parent that gave it. Remember a young man who said, "What is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love God. He's good. He's been so good to us. And so we need to look and try to find the jewels in life that are so precious, seeing that God has expressed His goodness toward us. And we need to remember that over and over again. Children sometimes bother me. I have a friend who's undertaker, and they have fights sometimes out in the parking lot. Children fighting over what mom and daddy has. I could tell you so many stories about that. They didn't love their parents, they loved what they had. What a tragedy. Love God, not the giver, not the gift. Love Him more than what He's given us. The gift is fantastic, but God is greater than that. So, learn to express your gratitude and express it to others. Friends, we are to be different people. Jesus died for us to be different. And we need to understand that. I just want tonight to talk to you, get you to think about who we are and how blessed we've been. Why do I know the truth? Why did somebody take the time to teach me? My mother was a member of the church, not very strong. And my daddy was a drunk. And mom had Grover Stevens down to eat with us one night during the meeting. And I said, "Mama, what'd you do that for?" I said, "Daddy might curse him out." Mama said, "Well, if he does, he'll just have to." That night, Grover Stevens talked me into going to Florida College. My grandkids, the youngest one that I have, knows more about the Bible than I knew when I went to Florida College. I went down there knowing little or nothing about God's Word. Grover lived long enough for me to tell him how much I appreciated him coming to our house that night. Others have done things for me. I'm glad they lived long enough that I could tell them how much I appreciate what they've done. Don't take it for granted. Somebody does something for you or has done something, give them a call. Go by and tell them whatever they've done for you, how much it means to them. People tell Linda and I things we've done for them that we have long forgotten. I'm glad we've forgotten it, but I'm glad they remember. Remember to never forget your God and the goodness and what all He's done for you. Learn to be grateful. The best expression of thanksgiving is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to believe it with all of your heart. Then to express that gift by repenting of your sins and confessing His name before men. And then surrendering to baptism. That's expression of your thanksgiving to God. That He's given you the opportunity to become a child of God. Then live the rest of your life praising God and encouraging God's children as they travel along life's road. Friends, that's what life's all about. I wish I could tell everybody that have encouraged me along life's road. Don't let somebody die that you didn't tell them how much you appreciated and what they've done for you. If you're subject to invitation, we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.